So I wanted to start off in Proverbs 22, verse 6. And this is the New Living Translation. Whenever I see God, I see God from the point of a father, from the point of view of a father. And so a lot of times when our kids do crazy stuff or they do something wrong, I kind of see it as me doing something wrong and God's trying to discipline me or teach me how to do something. But Proverbs 22, verse 6, it says, direct your children onto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. And so I was thinking, you know, what is a path? Well, the definition is it's a track that's laid down for walking or made by continual treading. In order for there to be a path, there has to be someone who has laid the path. So for us, that's Jesus. He cleared the path of righteousness in our life already. He made it to the end and he came back to walk with you through it. That's what a word or prophecy is. It's God going into your future and bringing back a word of encouragement to get you to the next season. It gives us hope to keep pressing on. So one day, like every other day, morning and night, I was walking the dog down the street on Starling Avenue. Like I do every morning, I normally take Micah with me so she can walk and kind of get a little bit of exercise and, you know, get stronger to walk by herself. I don't know if you've ever tried to walk a dog and a one-year-old child, but it is not easy, that's for sure. It's incredibly hard to keep a one-year-old on a certain path. But when you don't have a ton of experience with life or the spirit, you tend to want to explore. And that's all she wants to do. It's perfectly normal to want to explore, but it needs to be with supervision when you're that young and inexperienced. So what happens if you let your child walk down the sidewalk by themselves? A one-year-old. They will not stay on the sidewalk. If you're lucky, they won't wander off the path, but you know, more often than not, their curiosity is going to get the best of them. They're going to be right in the middle of the street. Because they have no concept of danger or right and wrong. If I let Micah walk by herself, she would definitely be in the middle of the street. She'd be waving cars down, saying, give me a fist bump, stuff like that. But she can do that because Dad is close, and she knows that she's safe. She feels safe, and that's how we are with God. So, the next verse that I wanted to get into was Matthew 7, verse 13. And all of these are the New Living Translation. You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. Only a few ever find it. That insinuates that narrow path that leads to life has to be sought out. It's not something that you stumble on or something that just pops up one day. It's something that you have to seek out yourself. The wide path is attractive because it requires little effort. It's the way of the world where everyone seeks comfort, pleasure, and self-interest. Right. On this path, there is no need for self-discipline or sacrifice. People are free to follow their desires without regard for righteousness and truth. The path that leads to destruction seems to be fulfilling at first. It ultimately leads to emptiness and separation from God. Right. Scripture warns us, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end is the way to death. The broad path is littered with distractions that pull us away from God. And the price to be paid is eternal. The narrow path is not for the faint of heart. It's a path that demands self-denial, perseverance, and unwavering faith. Walking the narrow path means resisting the temptation of the world and choosing obedience to God. even when it's unpopular or inconvenient. Jesus walked the narrow path. He endured rejection, suffering, and the cross to fulfill the will of the Father. He is the ultimate example of what it means to stay faithful in the face of trials. To walk the narrow path is to follow in his footsteps, trusting that the rewards of obedience far outweigh the sacrifices. The path is narrow because it requires us to strip away all that hinders our relationship with God, our pride, our sin, and our reliance on worldly things. It is not an easy road, but it is the only one that leads to eternal life. As Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. So, the other morning, this is probably a couple weeks ago, I was walking the dog with Micah, and we started off walking down the sidewalk. Every time there's a driveway or a set of stairs, she immediately runs that direction. So I have to keep saying, you know, like, hey, come here, Micah, come over here, stay with me, we got to go this way. So I completely understand that she wants to do it and she wants to explore it and all that stuff. It's great. But at the same time, 10 minutes into our walk, I've already had to spend, you know, the entire 10 minutes kind of like wrestling with her and trying to get her to follow me, and we're only two houses past ours. So, I mean, it's just every time we go, it's always like, come here, come on, girl, we need to go this way. We're going this way. Let's go. And she just doesn't want to do it. She starts to get a little annoying, but I'm a patient person, so I let her explore safely. So I walked a few more steps, and the presence of God hit me. And God began to speak to me. He said, I do the same thing with you. You walk off the path, and I wait, and I call your name, but you're too concerned with exploring and seeing something new that you can't hear me. Wow. You don't know how dangerous it is, but I call you. Let's get back to the path. Come here. Don't go there. It's dangerous. Please come back. Wow. It's not safe. And at this point, I'm walking and crying because the presence of God has hit me. Maggie's using the bathroom, and Mike is laying on the sidewalk in a full tantrum because she wants to go a certain way and we have to go the other way. So from the outside perspective, you know, it probably was a sight to see. Sometimes we get tired and we need to rest. But God is always faithful to say, all right, let's go. It's time to get back on it. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. So a couple of practical things is, how do we walk the narrow path? So I wanted to talk about that. You walk it by prioritizing your relationship with God and being rooted in his word. It's simple, really. If you diligently and wholeheartedly seek God and the things of the kingdom, then you will always be on the path of righteousness. Sometimes God has to tell us to stop or wait or change directions because danger is ahead. And that's why it's always important to listen and obey. We have a saying in our house, or something that we tell our kids anyway. You have to listen to your parents, because if you don't listen to your parents, then they can't keep you safe. And it's the same thing with God in our lives. There's also another popular saying that what you don't know won't hurt you. But the Bible says that my people perish for a lack of knowledge. So the Bible is basically saying what you don't know is actually killing you. God never transported the children of Israel from where they were to the promised land. They had to wait. They had to hear God. They had to trust God. They had to fight. They had to walk. They suffered. They incurred pains and trials. if something is given to you, then lots of times there's no appreciation. And now there's expectations. If a parent does something for a child, that child becomes spoiled. And that child then expects everything to be done for them like it has been. But that is not how God treats us. We have to help ourselves by moving in the same direction that God wants us to go in. We could sit in the path and wait for God to move us in a certain direction. How many of you guys have heard someone say, well, if God wants me to have that, he'll give it to me? It's like sitting in the middle of a path and saying, God, your grace is going to have to carry me from here to the next promise. The second thing is embracing the power of grace. None of us can walk the path perfectly, and that's why we need God's grace. We stumble, and we can turn to him for forgiveness and strength to continue the journey. It can be lonely at times, but we are all on a journey, not a vacation, not a retreat, not a soothing spa day. We are on a journey. God, with God, who is trying to guide you through all the obstacles that are out there. And there are many aspects in our life that affect our walk. And maybe you've gotten off the path financially, or maybe it's something to do with your heart or your emotions or the way that you treat people. Just a little story. 5 or 6 years ago, me and Elizabeth, we decided that we wanted to get really serious about tithing. So we set a tithing goal. And we could never hit this goal. And at the time, we both had full-time jobs, and we were both working anywhere from 40 to 52 hours a week. Sophia was in daycare. She was the only kid that we had at that point. But we could never hit this goal, and we were pretty inconsistent with our tithing. Like, we would do it, sometimes we would forget, and then we'd have to go back later, and there was a lot of things surrounding that. But one day, one of the things that really got me out of that was I heard a guy say, a pastor, well-known pastor, he said, if you don't tithe and give the creator of the universe what is his, then good luck. He said, I hope he doesn't repossess the air that you breathe. And so I was like, oh, this is serious. So we kind of got a little bit more serious about it, and we started to tithe consistently. And then in August of 2020, I had to quit my job because the kids were going back to school and they had to have a parent there at home to teach them virtually. So it was a really hard thing to do, to kind of like go from two incomes to one. But for some reason, when I did that, when I took that step of faith, we started hitting our goal every year. So we literally went from two incomes to one. And we couldn't hit our goal at all. And then we had one income and we were hitting our goal every year. So God is diligent to provide for us. And even this Christmas, Elizabeth brought up, she was like, I'm working the least that I ever have since we've been together. I don't understand how we're affording everything. She's like, this is crazy. I don't know how in the world this is happening. We might be just a tiny bit more frugal than we used to be.
Plus, there's grace, is what you're talking about.
Very much so. So this is a perfect example of us being off the path. And once we got back on it, everything started to change. Was it difficult? Absolutely. Did we have setbacks? Yep. The journey of life isn't easy or pretty at times. The Bible doesn't promise happiness, but it does promise joy. So I just wanted to close and say that if you heard this message and you thought, man, I need to get back on that narrow path that leads to life. I have really messed up. I need help. I hope this gives you what you need. And I have good news for you. God is waiting. He is standing at the door and he knocks and he waits for you to open it. God is only a prayer away. And if that's you, you can come up. We can pray with you or for you, whatever you need today. But I just wanted to pray for all of us. God, we give you the glory for everything that you've done in our lives. Father, thank you for being there for us. Always protect us from harm and always willing to lead us and guide us even when we don't deserve it. Amen. Lord, forgive us for stepping off the path from time to time. And Lord, just be with us and guide us through these obstacles and through these hard times. And Lord, I just hope and pray that this would be a new year. This would be a year of jubilee for everyone. Where debts are canceled and everything is forgiven. The slate is wiped clean, Lord. And I just want to leave you guys by saying number 6, verse 24. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. And may the Lord show you his favor and give you peace. Amen.